Good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening. Welcome to the Joint Citywide Budget Town Hall Teleforum. Live on the call this evening, we have Councilmember Jerry Shipsky of the 5th Council District of the City of Long Beach. And we also have Councilmember Ray Gablich of the 8th Council District of the City of Long Beach.
Thanks for joining us tonight. We look forward to the questions.
And my name is Stephen Neal. I represent the 9th District of the City of Long Beach. This year, the Long Beach City Council will be challenged with producing a balanced budget by figuring out how to close the deficit of $20.3 million for the fiscal year 12. Throughout the evening, we will discuss the fiscal year 12 proposed budget and take questions that you, the listeners, pose. We will also take a few surveys to see how you, the residents of Long Beach, feel about the current budget proposal. Then we will outline the plan that we brought forth to the Long Beach City Council on September 6th by Council Members Gablich, Shipsky, and myself. If you're near a computer, I recommend that you log on to the citywide website, www.longbeach.gov, and download the Community Budget Handbook. For those of you who do not have access to the Internet, we will do our best to explain the complete budget picture. Again, the website is www.longbeach.gov. For those of you who already have questions, you may press star 3 on your phones at any time, and you will be connected to one of our operators. Before we begin, we want to start by taking some input from the listeners. During this poll, I will ask you, the listeners, a question. When I finish, you will answer the question by pressing buttons 1 through 5 on your touch-tone phone. I will read the question and each response twice. Let's begin. Poll question number 1. Given the current projected $20 million budget deficit, how should the Long Beach City Council balance its budget? Press 1 to cut police officers in the patrol division, gang detail, and other unions. Press 2 to cut the fire department to historically low levels. Press 3 to convert our libraries to reading rooms. Press 4 to convert our parks to passive park models. And press 5 to utilize a portion of the surplus oil revenues to close the gap and maintain vital services. Again, the poll question is, given the current projected $20 million budget deficit, how should the Long Beach City Council balance its budget? 1 is to cut police officers. 2 is to cut the fire department. 3 is to cut libraries, 4 is to cut parks, and 5 is to utilize a portion of the surplus oil revenue. Thank you. We're honored that you've joined us, and with that, we'll begin. At this point, Councilmember Shipsky of the 5th District We'll hear from Councilmember Shipsky of the 5th District. But remember, if you have a question, you may press star 3 at any time on your phones, and you will be connected to one of our operators. Now, Councilmember Shipsky, please walk us through the fiscal year 12 budget as proposed by the mayor and city council.
Thank you, Councilman Neal. I really appreciate being here tonight. I want to just talk briefly about the FY12 budget. First of all, let's talk quickly about the deficit. A deficit is the difference that's projected between revenue and projected expenditures. And for this coming fiscal year, it's projected that we have a $20.3 million deficit. The main cause of deficits are attributed largely to previously negotiated labor cost increases and the increased cost of employee benefits and pensions. What we have done in the City Council over the past several years is take what's called a proportionate share approach to closing that deficit. We implemented it specifically in FY11, and what that means is that police and fire departments are about 70% of the budget. Public Works is about 7.4%, Parks, Recreation, Marine about 6.4%, and Library Services 3.2%. And so when we looked at where the cuts should be, the cuts were given proportionately to those each of the departments. We're faced with the same situation this year. And you need to understand that only 21 cents of every dollar of property tax paid by Long Beach residents actually goes to our general fund. That's a very low amount of money. The Long Beach city government has not issued any general fund bonds for infrastructure since the 1960s, and our past financial strategies used to close the city's deficit have been to reduce vehicles from the city's fleet, to increase cost recovery for services through increased fees and charges, to consolidate bureaus and divisions, and to eliminate 644 positions over the last 8 years. You need to also keep in mind that the City Council must, by law, pass a budget by September 13th, and that budget has to be balanced. We are not allowed by law to have a deficit. So what has been proposed by Mayor Foster and City Manager West are the following cuts. First, in the police department, downsizing gang enforcement unit and violent crime detail, eliminating 14 patrol officers, 4 sworn positions in Homeland Security, the juvenile car, which is called the J car, and reducing jail medical services contract with community hospital. For the fire department, the proposed cuts are decreasing fire truck staffing from 4 to a truck to 3 to a truck, and this would eliminate 27 firefighters. They also want to replace the fire engine at Station 18 with a paramedic rescue unit and eliminate the 5th fire truck that was supported by the Prop H funds that voters approved. When we get to library services, they have a new plan, and it's to convert Alameda's, Bach, and Brewitt libraries into what they're calling reading rooms, and this would impact 8 positions. They also want to reduce materials budget for residents, reduce supplies and services staffing, and internal support for the main library and the central services. Parks, Recreation, Marine will also see cuts if they go through. There is a reduction in materials and supplies for after-school programs citywide and for the teen programs at McBride, Chavez, Houghton, and Silverado. Also, the elimination of after-school supervision and programming at El Dorado West Teen Center, and the reduction of available resources to address park roadway pothole repair, our aging heating and air conditioning systems in all the facilities that have been actually vandalized seriously over the past couple of years, and the elimination of after-school programming at Hartwell Park. Now, part of the budget each year is the projection of what oil revenue the City of Long Beach will get from oil that is drilled on city land. This is separate from the oil that's drilled out in what we call the Tidelands area. And you need to keep in mind that for the past 9 out of 10 years, the city has projected oil revenue lower than actually what has come in. And in fact, when you look at these figures for the last 10 years, the City of Long Beach has actually realized close to $30 million more than what they, in fact, had budgeted. This is not money in the future. This is money that is sitting in hand, and it is a source of revenue. Just as it was just announced, our sales revenue tax went up 12%. That is because the budget had been proposed at a much lower retail sales tax coming in, and we have an increase of 12%. So those are some of the highlights of the potential cuts to services that are critical to the City of Long Beach, and also where there's revenue available that those cuts can be restored with. And so with that, what I'd like to do is introduce you to Councilwoman Gablich.
Let me jump in right now. Thank you, Councilmember Shipsky. And for those of you who had just joined us, we're talking about the fiscal year 12 budget. Now, again, listeners, if you have a question for Councilmember Shipsky, Councilmember Gablich, or myself, please press star 3 at any time. At this point, we're going to take another poll from the residents. During this poll, I will ask a question. I will ask you, the listeners, a question, and when I finish, you will answer a question by pressing number 1 or number 2 on your touch-tone phone. I'll read the question and each of the response twice. Let's begin. Poll question number 2. Were you aware that the City of Long Beach has received surplus oil revenue for the last 9 out of 10 years? Press number 1 for yes, number 2 for no. Again, the question is, were you aware that the City of Long Beach has received surplus oil revenue for the last 9 out of 10 years? The responses are number 1 for yes, number 2 for no. Thank you, listeners. And at this point, Councilmember Gablich will share with us on the fiscal year 12 budget and our plan to restore some of the cuts to vital services. Again, if you started forming questions for the panel, please press star 3. Councilmember Gablich, please share with us on the budget.
Good evening, everybody. Well, here we are discussing another budget. Over the past year, 8 years, we have cut more than $188 million from the budgets. We have maximized efficiencies, and we're certainly doing more with less. Our city general fund workforce has been reduced by nearly 20%, more than 600 positions. As our police chief and fire chief said recently, we are now working with skeletal crews. There is no more fat to cut. The proposed budget reductions are cutting to the bone of our core services. With the cuts in the mayor's and city manager's proposed budget, our police force will be at its lowest level since the early 1990s. The chief has told the council that with these cuts, combined with the fact that the state will be releasing nearly 30,000 criminals, we can expect to see a rise in violent crimes. We would see a reduction of 45 firefighter positions in just the past 2 years. Our fire chief has said he does not support going to three-person engine crews, but his hands are tied with the current budget proposal. Our libraries have seen a significant reduction in hours, now only open 5 days a week. Now the city manager is proposing to eliminate practically all services at three of our libraries. Our parks provide needed programs for our young people and places for our residents to recreate. But our parks are in disrepair, and we're looking at a drastic reduction in the programs available to our young people. We believe it is important to protect the core services of our city that provide public safety and quality of life. We also believe that there's a light at the end of the tunnel for our budget. Our police officers and firefighters have expressed a willingness to consider significant changes to their contracts that could provide substantial budget savings within the next 2 years. Our duty as a city council is to find a way to get through these next 2 years and preserve the core functions of the city. We would like to offer a way that we see will restore some of the most severe cuts to the budget with funds that the city already has in hand. This is not relying on changing future projections of revenue. We are utilizing surplus revenue that has already come in to the city. I'd like to walk you through the basics of our plan. And again, remember, this proposal is drafted on the assumption that both fire and police realize the necessity for pension reform and will join in this cooperative partnership. The Upland Oil money is currently projected to be about $11 million over what was initially projected. There is a reserve fund balance of $9 million. That equals $19 million that will be used somehow to either fund new programs or to take care of the cuts that have been proposed. In the public safety and quality of life protection plan that we put forward, we are basing this on the fact that we believe that there is a $18 to $19 million balance in that fund. We're suggesting that you maintain a $2 million fund balance in the Uplands Oil Fund. That's twice the amount that the gas department manager has stated is a prudent reserve balance. And then we're suggesting that we utilize $12 million in the funds to restore cuts in the city's general fund in the fiscal year 12 cuts that are being proposed by the mayor and the city manager. $6.2 million would go to the police department. Our recommendations are that they restore the 14 police officers from patrol division, that they restore positions to gang enforcement detail team, restore violent crimes detail positions, and restore positions in Homeland Security section, and then allowing $3.1 million for the chief to establish his priorities for additional restorations. We're suggesting $4.3 million to the fire department so that they can do the following. Maintain four-person staffing on the engines. That's $3.2 million. Restore engine at Station 18. That's $262,000. And restore Rescue 12. That's approximately $800,000. Library services, we're suggesting $750,000 so that they can maintain existing services at all of our neighborhood libraries, and also to include the position at City Source, which is in City Hall and serves the constituents of the entire city, for a total of $750,000. For Parks, Recreation, and Marine, we're suggesting $750,000 to be used to restore programs and service cuts, and then to utilize approximately $4 million for other one-time expenditures. You know, there is the suggestion that maybe we could be more fiscally responsible and put some money away should, you know, the mayor has said to us that we're being irresponsible because oil could change drastically, as it has done one out of the last 10 years. But if we want to be fiscally prudent, we could certainly restore all of the public safety cuts and the quality of life areas that we just defined with library and parks and rec, and still have a surplus that we could sequester to be used should our anticipation of additional revenues not come to be next year. And with that, Steve, I think you know, I've covered our plan, so take it away.
Thank you, Councilmember Gablich. Now we're going to take a question. Again, if you have started forming questions for the panel, please press star 3. And right now we're going to take a live question. And this question is from Robert H. in the 7th District. And Robert's question is, why can't they lower the amount paid to police and fire instead of cutting staff? How you doing, Robert?
Just fine.
Okay, so, and your question again, why can't they lower the amount paid to police and fire instead of cutting staff?
Well, yes.
You know. Okay.
Hey, Robert, this is Councilwoman Shipsky. Let me answer that for a minute. You know, it's because we have legally binding contracts with each of these employee groups. And so the city can't just by itself say, by the way, we want to pay you lower, or we want to change anything in your contract unless that group agrees to bargain with us. And people may not like that, but it is a legally binding contract. It would be like if you bought a car and you agreed to pay a certain amount a month, and then you picked up the phone and called Ford and said, hey, I don't want to pay that amount anymore, Ford would say, excuse me, but you have a contract. And that's exactly where the city is. That being said, what we are trying to do is to avoid cutting staff, and we are working with the employee groups, several of which who have stepped up and have said they are willing to pay more of their salary into pensions, which means the city then doesn't have to pay that amount. That is going to help tremendously, and that's part of the road that we're on. But until those contracts are open totally, the city of Long Beach cannot step in and just unilaterally change the terms and conditions of what was negotiated.
Okay, thank you, Robert. We're going to take another live question. And at this time, we are going to take a question from Tammy Holmes.
And this is Tammy Holmes.
Okay, Tammy, could you repeat your question or let us have your question, please?
Okay, my question is, they're asking about the fireman's budget, and they also cut and laying off some firemen and also the policemen, the gang. I don't feel that there's a need in Long Beach to lay off nobody what's with pertaining to the gangs and the fire department. I don't see that. I would vote every time no. But the gangs are in Long Beach. No, I don't see a policeman being cut short. They need more, if anything.
Well, Ms. Holmes, I personally agree with you. I think one of the alternatives has been suggested by myself and my colleagues, and that's one of the reasons that we're actually putting on this teleform tonight to actually get the input from the residents. But I agree with you. I think we've cut, as Councilmember Gablich has said, to the bone, and there's no need to cut core services when there is an alternative that we could utilize that can restore services, and you know, that's what we're attempting to do. Thank you. So at this time, we are going to take another poll question. Now, during this poll, Again, I will ask the listeners a question, and when I finish, you will answer the question by pressing number 1, number 2, or number 3 on your touch-tone phone. I'll read the question and each response twice. Let's begin. Poll question number 3. What should the $19 million in surplus oil revenues in the Upland Fund be used for? Press number 1 if you would like to restore cuts to police and fire services. Press number 2 if you would like to restore cuts to quality of life services such as libraries and parks. Press number 3 if you would like one-time projects such as improved public facilities downtown and new websites for the city. Again, the poll question number 3 is, what should the $19 million in surplus oil revenues in the Upland Fund be used for? Number 1, restoring cuts to police and fire. Number 2, cuts to quality of life like libraries and parks. Or number 3, one-time projects like public facilities and websites. And right now, the response to the poll are as follows. We're showing restoring cuts to police and fire at 67%, restoring cuts to libraries and parks at 28%, and to projects like improvement of facilities and downtown and websites at 5%. Again, if you have started forming questions for the panel, please press star 3. And now we're going to move to another call. At this time, we are going to talk to Ron Antoinette. And Ron is a 5th District resident. Ron, could you share your question with us?
I appreciate that you're doing this town hall. Good evening, everybody. My question is for Councilmember Neal. I wanted to understand a little better why, after all of the discussions a week or two ago about this proposal, and you brought it to the floor of the council, why it was withdrawn, and then kind of what the next strategy is for bringing it back to the floor. I think this is a really good recommendation.
Well, thank you, Ron. And Ron's question was basically, why did I withdraw the motion that I introduced at the last budget hearing? And the reason, Ron, that we did that was, one, we wanted to initiate dialogue, which I think we did, and bring it to the forefront. And actually, that will be on the council agenda for our meeting on Tuesday, September the 6th. So it is on the council agenda. We are going to address it, and there will be a formal vote taken by the complete council on September 6th. So we wanted to introduce a dialogue, and I think we did that. We got a healthy dialogue. And again, when we introduced that at the last budget hearing, that was the first time that many of our colleagues had actually seen the proposal that the three of us had put forth. So we also needed time for them to wrap their heads around it. And but it is going to be on the council agenda for the 6th this coming Tuesday. So thank you, Ron, and we appreciate you calling. Again, if you have any questions, please press star 3. And we're going to take another live call. Right now we have John Dietz. And John, are you there?
Hello there. I'm here.
How are you, John? What's your question, John?
My question is, what makes you folks think that things in the out years, 2013, 2014, 2015, are going to be significantly better than they are now? I am, in principle, supportive of the what you want to do. I think you might be a little too aggressive in the amount of the Upland's oil fund that you want to spend in a single year. I'm inclined to support Bill Pearl's version 2.0 that's posted on LB Report. But I want to know what fundamental things are going to change in your opinions, any of the three of you, that they're going to make more revenue flow into the general fund in the out year. Is it going to be increased traffic to the port? I don't know how that translates to things in the general fund. Is it going to be increased air passengers to the airport? Is it going to be some kind of a boom in retail sales that I think has had a very inadequate emphasis put on it going back at least 15 years? What is going to make things get better?
Boy, that was one long question, John. This is Councilwoman Ray Gabelich. How are you doing? You know, we had this discussion last night at our town hall. I have to say that, You know, it's all about, right now, our greatest sources of revenue are property tax and sales tax. Those are slowly on the upswing across the entire nation, but we also heard that the TOT tax is going up, as well as sales tax in the city of Long Beach. So I think when you look at that particular arena, you have to know that the CVB, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, is doing its job in bringing people to town. But that, again, as I stated last night, that's another very important reason that we continue to provide strong public safety presence in our city. If we're trying to drive tourism up and welcome people to our community, then they have to know that they're coming to a safe city. But to answer your question, you know, I'm going around. You actually had three or four questions. But, you know, there's no guarantee in anything that we do what we're going to do to increase the, you know, the revenue coming into the city. I think jobs are very, very important. But again, we don't have an economic development program here in the city where we can entice people to come and do startup businesses. Hopefully Boeing is going to grow over the next few years, and we'll have that experience. But job growth and holding on to what we have as we get through the next two or three years, and we see the changes. You know, if police have already agreed, 73% of their force voted to approve of the changes for pension reform, and fire is coming to the table. Those monies right there alone are going to help us significantly over the next, oh, it's probably going to be two or three years out before we see that, but it's going to have a significant impact on our general fund dollars.
And John, that was a very good question. And to your point regarding the airport, you know, my colleagues and I are all looking at ways to increase revenues, and there's all kinds of things that are being looked at. You mentioned the airport. There's actually the possibility, just something to think about. There's not been a lot of formal discussion on it, but a user tax, and not to our residents, but to folks coming in the airport, of maybe 10 cents per person for flights or folks using flights. So just things of that nature. Let's jump to another poll question. During this poll, we will ask the listeners a question, and when I finish, you will answer the question by pressing number 1, number 2, or number 3 on your touchtone phone. I will read the question and each response twice. Let's begin. Poll number 4. Are you willing to take action to support restoring the proposed cuts to police, fire, libraries, and parks? Press 1 if you're willing to call your council member. Press 2 if you're willing to email your council member. Press 3 if you're willing to attend the budget hearing on September 6th in support of the Public Safety and Quality of Life Protection Plan. Again, poll question number 4. Are you willing to take action to support restoring the proposed cuts to police, fire, library, and parks? Number 1, to call the council member. Number 2, to email the council member. Number 3, you're willing to attend the budget hearing on September 6th, and we're looking for responses right now. And as this poll is coming in, let's read off some of the response. We have a 30% response of residents that are willing to call their council members. We have a 45% response of residents willing to email the council member, and a 23% response of those willing to come down to the budget hearing. At this time, we're going to take another question. And right now, we have a question from Brent D. Brent, are you there?
I am. First
Brent,
of all, I think
your question?
You guys are doing a great job. This is much needed, and I support your plan 100%. But, you know, the time has run to a point where we need to start talking more about strategy of getting people out and trying to get it changed with a council date of the 6th or Tuesday, and the budget having to be passed by the 13th. I think we need to somehow get and motivate people to get there and call and do everything possible, because we're out of time. The other thing that I would like to comment on is of your questions. Of the questions so far, there have been things where I would do more than one of them. For example, the last one, I am willing to email, call, and visit the council meeting, and I think you might consider rephrasing some of those questions, or at least giving the option of all of the above.
Good point. Councilmember Shipsky, you could answer.
Yeah, Brent, thank you. You know, your ideas are excellent, and one of the things that, because of this call, we have like 2,000 people online right now, so that's certainly a wonderful start of getting the word out. The other thing is that many of us have had budget meetings, and as you know, I have a blog, and we're putting out thousands of emails letting people know that they need to show up at council, and I agree, if they can't be there, then certainly email or telephone both their council member and the mayor about what they would like to see done with this budget. We are up against a deadline, and those of us who are here doing this teleconference tonight are particularly concerned that we were not given another opportunity this week to have a budget meeting. It was tentatively scheduled, and unfortunately a quorum couldn't be obtained. We are in the midst of a very difficult situation and a very difficult decision-making process, and it's sad that we're limited now to maybe one or two more meetings, and that's going to be it. So you are absolutely on point, and we appreciate your support, and make sure you tell your neighbors that September 6th is extremely important.
Brent, this is Ray Gavilich. I'd just like to thank you for attending the budget hearing last night. I know you're a very busy man, but you take time out to be involved in the community, and that's really what it's going to take. We need everybody. If everybody that was listening in right now showed up at the council meeting, what an incredible turnout to speak your mind and to speak what your position is on how we continue services and protecting services in this city. So thank you, Brent, for everything you do.
Okay, thank you, colleagues. We have Mr. Mike Motz on the line, and Mike, you have a comment? Hello, Mike? Mike, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. How can we help you, Mike? What's your question?
Well, I think one of the things that's not being brought up is that people aren't aware of is we were told by the upper echelon and the fire union that if we go to these three-man crews, we're going to be in violation of Cal OSHA rules. And that these, under those rules, they have to have four men on an engine to enter a fire. And under my understanding of this, they're saying that they cannot enter even such thing as a kitchen fire until they get either another unit in there, or because under the Cal OSHA rules, they have to have two men in and two men out, meaning that the two men inside have to be kind of protected by the two men outside. And I just kind of think that the public ought to be aware of that, and your and Ray and Jerry's opinion on that.
Well, Mike, you bring up a very good point. If we were to go to three-man crews here in Long Beach, we would be the only metropolitan city our size that has going to that structure, and our contention is that that's not safe for the residents, nor is it safe for the firefighters. And Ray?
You know, I just wanted to add something. You know, we say the three-man crew or four-man crew, and that doesn't mean a lot to most people, but we had an incredible demonstration at the budget hearing last night where they demonstrated the responsibilities of each firefighter that's on site. But in addition to that, I just think that this is a great knowledge, is that our fire department receives an average of 400 calls each and every month, and 100 of those calls get coded as real fires. 20 of those are residential fires, places where people live and sleep. 30 of those are vehicle fires, and 50 are miscellaneous trash cans, trees that could spread into other property areas. So commercial fires are a separate category, so it's 100 calls. calls a month coded as real fires. I think that, you know, you send a guy out there, and is the chief going to tell them, or is the captain going to tell them that you can't go in until the next guy gets there, and you think they're going to do that? I mean, when you put yourself in that kind of a position, they are there to protect and serve. So, you know, I think that we need to give them the tools that they need to do the job that they know how to do.
Hi, this is Councilwoman Chinsky. I just want to add, too, that you're absolutely correct. The public does not know that. And, again, we are a city that has an airport, a major port, and oil and gas lines almost under every square inch of this city. God help us if we were hit by a major disaster. We need to be able to have fire and police that can respond. And one of the things that I think is not also being talked about, we're not just talking about taking people off the truck and this is going to be a cost efficiency. What we're talking about is that it is going to slow down response time, and that is not something anyone wants to see happen. And I know some people go, well, that's a threat, but let me tell you something. The U.S. Department of Commerce last year did a study about the difference between five-person crews, four, three, and two. And definitively, if you go below four, the response time drops greatly, because, again, not just because of the occupational safety laws, not to put the firefighters at risk, but just the sheer logistics of people having to move hoses, turn water on, and get into a building and do what they need to do to knock down a fire. So I don't, as an elected official, I don't want to play around with people's safety, and I think that that's what these proposals are doing.
And what a great segue into our poll question number one. Given the current projected $20 million budget deficit, how should the Long Beach City Council balance its budget? Again, press number one if you believe we should cut police officers and the patrol division, the gang detail, and other units. Press number two if you believe we should cut fire department to historically low levels. Press number three to convert our libraries to reading rooms. Press number four to convert our parks to the passive park model. Or press number five to utilize a portion of the surplus oil revenues to close the gap and maintain vital services. Again, poll question number one, given the current projected $20 million budget deficit, how should the Long Beach City Council balance its budget? Number one, cut police and patrol division. Number two, cut fire department. Number three, convert libraries to reading rooms. Number four, convert our parks. Number five, utilize oil surplus to close the gap and maintain services. And our poll results are as followed. We have, actually, we're still waiting for the poll results, and we are going to go to a question right now. Russ B. Russ, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight, Russ?
Good, and my question is for all of you, and also Jerry Shifsky, is my concern is, where is the revenue fees coming from the Long Beach Grand Prix or the gay and lesbian events that are held every year? If we were to tack on an additional $5 per ticket, couldn't that go towards our police and fire services? But going back to the original question is, how much money does the city of Long Beach take in from those two largest events that are held each year?
Hey, Russ, thank you. This is Councilwoman Shipsky. That's a great question, because there's a lot of misunderstanding between general fund revenue and special enterprise funds. The Grand Prix and the Gay and Lesbian Pride Festival, by the way, are number one and number two in terms of sales tax revenue, but any monies that we directly derive from them, such as they do pay for police and fire services used that day, that goes into the special enterprise fund. And so it is kind of difficult for us to be placing an additional tax or some kind of fee on those two events when, in fact, they have to fully compensate the city back for any police and fire services or public work services that they use that day. That being said, those two events do generate sales tax revenue, and we are seeing a slight climb in sales tax revenue coming back to the city, but not enough, not in the proportions. The majority of the funds that the city utilizes for police and fire come from property taxes, and as you know, property taxes have gone down tremendously because, unfortunately, the value of homes and other properties have gone down as well. So All these things are very complex. That's a great idea, but we have some certain legal restrictions that we have to deal with when we look at things that only can be spent in a certain fund, and that's where that sales tax revenue and other things are generated from. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce, for your question. Oh, was it? Actually, we're going to Bruce for a question. I apologize. Bruce A., are you available? Hello, Bruce.
Thanks, okay. Councilman Gabe Leach. Hello, are you there?
Hi, Bruce. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to thank Councilman Gabe Leach and Neil and Shipsky for their efforts. And frankly, I'd like to chastise Councilman Johnson and Garcia for not being part of this, because I think they are very much in, you know, active in terms of supporting these efforts, but unfortunately they weren't able to make it. But my question really is, have we identified a baseline foundation for police and fire and library and parks that we will not go below? I mean, this has been this sliding scale type issue where, you know, depending upon revenues, we feel like we can cut whatever might be required, and I think that's wrong, that we should have a baseline that we do whatever we need to protect those services. And lastly, is there any, other than the one-time revenue associated from Upland's oil funds, have we considered revisiting the utility users tax, which I think personally has been a real disservice to the city to reduce that, and we have seen the effects of it. Thank you very much, and I'll take my answer offline.
Okay, Bruce, that was a great question. You know, that's something that I certainly bring up from time to time at the council, and asking people to support the utility users tax and having the it go back to a vote of the people. For every 1%, it raises $8 million to the general fund. So it was cut in half several years back. I think it's almost 10 years ago. $40 million could be realized in the general fund if that drastic of a cut had not happened. I'd like to see it go back to the voters. It could certainly have a sunset to it. It could be drawn up in a way that it could be identified to only be used for certain things. But if you do that, then you have to have a higher percentage of support for that ballot issue. So, you know, I think really what has to happen is that council members have to hear it loud and clear, the mayor has to hear it loud and clear, that the community is willing to do that. And I agree, Bruce, we are right at the bottom of the barrel. We are, you know, you say, can we establish a baseline? We've asked what the baseline is. What is the minimum that you can run your departments with to both of the chiefs? And, you know, I got a pretty good answer from fire, because they know that they need 122 firefighters each and every day. But they are already 34 vacancies today. So every day the chief goes in, he knows that he is 10 to 12 short. You know, people are upset about the overtime. Well, that's the reason for the overtime. You know, if we had a larger fire force, then the overtime wouldn't be so great. But my question to him was, how long can you keep operating like this? You know, you can't keep sending people out, you know, for double duty and think that they're not going to reach a burnout point. You know, the same thing I'm sure goes for the police officers. You know, in many areas, we're down to one-man cars. You know, what do we do when we have to continue to cut? You know, it's going to be on the backs of this community and the safety of the citizens of Long Beach, and I find that extremely disturbing. So with your support, with the support of each and every one of you that believe that, you know, I believe somebody last night made the comment that the utility users tax increase was a McDonald's Happy Meal once a week. If they're willing to do that, then let's have that discussion. And thanks for the question, Bruce.
This is Councilwoman Chivsky. I'd like to add to that, because I think there's a couple of things that listeners, please keep in mind. One, I really think we need to move back from this description of the Uplands oil as being one-time revenue. It's not. It's budgeted every single year. It is part of our ongoing revenue. It's the same thing as property taxes, sales tax, and other revenues that come into the city. It just is that the city has realized more in this category of revenue, as it has sales taxes, than was projected we would have. So that I really would hope that we focus that way. The other issue is that I think that we've really got to start focusing about stop cutting at the bottom, stop cutting at the delivery of service level. And I know I've said that we really need to kind of look at management and for all these departments so that we are not cutting the people who go out there and deliver the services. And finally, because these are not just cuts this year, we are not replenishing our police and fire staff. Not only are we having to deal with proposed cuts, but we are canceling academies so that we will not have replacement police and fire in the queue as we cut and people retire. And we are getting down to a percentage of police and fire officers in this city that are the lowest historically and are really irresponsible in terms of planning for public safety. Again, in good times when we don't violent crime is down and we don't have a rash of terrible emergencies and fires, you know, everyone can say, oh, this is okay. But that's not what good city planning for public safety does. It makes certain that we have those people on call available so that we can respond. And so we're not just talking about cuts. We are also talking about that we are not doing sufficient planning to replenish people that leave.
Thank you, colleagues. At this point, we want to take another poll question. Again, poll question. Were you aware that the city of Long Beach has received surplus oil revenues for the last 9 out of 10 years? If you are, press number 1. If no, press number 2. Again, the question is, were you aware that the city of Long Beach has received surplus oil revenue for the last 9 out of 10 years? Press number 1 for yes and number 2 for no. And right now we want to take one more question. Dan, are you available?
Can you hear me?
Dan? Yes, how are you, Dan?
Hello?
Dan, yes, you're on live.
Great. Well, I want to thank you three. This has been great. Thank you so much for doing this. It's been excellent. But my question has with something that Councilwoman Shifsky just mentioned about policing levels. It's my understanding that through attrition, we're going to lose 30 officers, and then we're trying to cut more. And on top of that, we have no scheduled academy, and the next one scheduled is 2014. If we continue at this pace, won't we have a level of service below that of when the 9th District had to experience the sheriff?
That's absolutely right, Dan, and that's a dangerous proposition for the residents of this city, and that's one of our biggest concerns. You know, Councilmember Shifsky just brought up some very good points with the last question. But one of the challenges that these continuing cuts to public safety also present for us is the ability to recruit. And, you know, it's not once we've cut officers, both police and fire, it's not that easy to put them back on the street. So those are things that we have to consider when we're looking at all of these. And that's why the proposal that we put forth, we think, is a reasonable plan.
You know, I'd like to add to that, Dan. Last night, that question actually came up, the discussion about the sheriffs, only it was a question. Could we go back to that, and could we use the sheriffs while we're waiting for better days? But the chief said, you know, the sheriffs aren't doing a whole lot better than we're doing, and they have men that are assigned specifically to different cities and different operations. They have very few that they would be able to then take care of our portion of Long Beach while we're going through these times. And so I think it's a negative.
Okay, so a lot of the questions that are coming up now are very similar. The next question is from Jerry, if you want to jump in.
Sure. We've had some questions about what's stopping the city from using the oil revenues right now, and where did those revenues get used in the past? Well, to cut to the chase, the second question, the three of us sitting in this room did ask the city manager to provide us a rundown, because over the last 10 years, we've realized about $29 million in these revenues, and we would like a specific accounting as to where they were used. The other thing is, what's stopping the city from using them right now? 5 votes. All it takes is 5 votes to decide that this is how this revenue should be used, as any other source of revenue that comes into the city. There is a wish list that is being gathered by around the 14th floor in council, because the manager has said, well, you'll pass the budget, and then we'll sit down and decide how to spend the excess revenue, or the $10 million that we're looking at right now. That's not acceptable when we are, in fact, looking at cutting public safety and quality of life services. So there's three of us here. We're hoping that we get support with two other colleagues so that we can move forward and designate at least a portion of these funds to make certain that we are not jeopardizing public safety and the quality of life in this city. And thanks for those questions. Those are two good questions. And one quick thing, someone has asked, too, why can't we use Tidelands revenues for parks and recreation? Tidelands can only be used, funds can only be used in the Tidelands area. So for those of us who aren't having council districts in the Tidelands area, which would be basically the shoreline area, those funds can't be used there. And I know this has been something that we're all very concerned about, finding a source of revenue for our Parks and Recreation Department. Thanks for this.
All right. Thank you, Councilmember Shipsky. At this time, we want to take another poll. And the poll question is, are you willing to take action to support restoring the proposed cuts to police, fire, libraries, and parks? Responses are, number one, I'm willing to call my council member. Number two, I'm willing to email my council member. Number three, I'm willing to attend a budget hearing on September 6th in support of the Public Safety and Quality of Life Protection Plan. Again, the poll question is, are you willing to take action to support restoring the proposed cuts to police, fire, libraries, and parks? The responses are, number one, I'm willing to call my council member. Number two, I'm willing to email my council member. And finally, number three, I'm willing to attend the budget hearing on September 6th in support of the Public Safety and Quality of Life Protection Plan. Well, we want to thank you for participating on this call. Over the course of this call, there have been thousands of residents that have participated. And if we weren't able to get to your questions, you have an opportunity at the end of the call to leave a message with your question or comment. And we assure you that our offices will get back to you in a timely manner. Again, if you care about protecting vital services like public safety, libraries, and parks, then we need your help. Join us at the Long Beach City Council meeting this Tuesday at 5 p.m. as we propose the Public Safety and Quality of Life Protection Plan. We are counting on your support in preserving these vital services that Long Beach families depend on. And if we weren't able, again, to get to all of your questions, you will have an opportunity at the end of the call to leave a message with your question or comment, and we assure you that our offices will get back to you in a timely manner. So we're counting on your support in preserving these vital services, and the Long Beach family depend on it.
We'd like to say goodnight and thank you for joining us. This is a real good experiment in civic participation, and we hope to have many more of these. We think your participation is very important.
Absolutely. You know, show up on Tuesday and plan on coming on the 13th as well. You know, when we make the final vote, your participation, your presence sends a very loud message. One of the questions here was, you know, why is the mayor upset about this plan? And I think that's a good question for you all to ask him. You know, he calls it irresponsible, and I actually call it good planning. So thanks again for joining us, and have a wonderful evening.
And thank you, Long Beach residents, for your participation. We'll see you on Tuesday.